Coming up, how flight paths are being affected by the downing of Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 in Ukraine.
But first, to the crisis in the Middle East. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry is in Cairo, Egypt, along with the UN's Ban Ki-moon and Egyptian leaders, pressing for a ceasefire between Hamas and Israel. Here's Secretary of State Kerry.
The loss of lives and the humanitarian impact is really heartbreaking. And we're joining our international partners in reiterating our call for an immediate end to the fighting and a return to the ceasefire that was reached in 2012.
But for now, the fighting continues. NPR's Emily Harris joins us from Gaza. Emily, what is it like there today?
Well, it depends a lot on where you are, Jeremy. In Gaza City, most of the shops are still closed. There are some places where, you know, a market is busy, things like that. But most people are still sticking largely to home. You can go around the city and then, you know, boom, all of a sudden something next to you has been struck. There'll be an explosion. You hear rockets shooting off overhead. They make a kind of a whooshing sound, which is a really different from the sound of incoming artillery, which is more like a thud, or an airstrike, which is a big explosion. We were down in a town south of here, Deir al-Balah, earlier today, visiting a hospital that was struck in an Israeli attack yesterday, and there was shelling going on around there fairly regularly, so you'd hear thuds on a regular basis. But also there, same kind of street situation. Most of the shops shuttered, their metal doors closed, so the shop fronts aren't even showing. But some areas of some market areas with donkey carts selling oranges or things like that, and some people out walking around. But nothing at all like the usual busy streets in Gaza.
And it doesn't sound, from what you're saying, like the airstrikes have lessened much at all since the ground invasion began.
No, the airstrikes haven't stopped since the ground war began. Gaza, as you know, is a really skinny place. It's between 4 and 7 miles wide, right along the Mediterranean here. And the eastern mile and a half are basically a no-go zone, although people are still in some areas in that area. But there's a lot of fighting in the eastern part from what we can tell. But the airstrikes continue not only in Gaza City, but up and down the strip as well.
And before the ground invasion, we know that the Israelis were often calling people before airstrikes were launched. Are people getting that kind of warning? Are they being asked to leave their homes before rockets are fired in?
Israel uses a number of different methods to warn people. They don't always use these methods, but methods that they've used at different parts of this conflict are dropping leaflets around neighborhoods telling people to leave. Sometimes they've given a specific deadline. In one case, they actually gave some specific places of where to go to be safe. Sometimes families get a call saying specifically leave this building right away. They also have something called the knock on the roof, which is a rocket that doesn't actually explode, but if it hits, it can go through a floor.
Right.
But then that's supposed to be a message to leave. You know, people don't always want to leave, though. I mean, they're leaving their home. They're leaving their home to who knows what. Some people don't know where to go. If their whole family's in one neighborhood, where are they going to go? And the schools here where people have sought shelter are really overcrowded.
Well, and we should be clear, it's not as if they can leave Gaza, right? There's a fence all the way around. You can't leave.
That's correct. There's a fence to the east. There's concrete wall to the north and the south. And no, and that's one of the issues that the militants here say they are trying to change as they are fighting Israel. They say they're trying to loosen what they call the blockade of Gaza. And when the Muslim Brotherhood was in charge in Egypt, it was easier to get out through Egypt. Over the past year, that government in Egypt obviously changed, and the border crossing into Egypt has been closed much of this past year, and that's put a lot of pressure on people in the Gaza Strip.
Emily, are Palestinians in Gaza hoping for a ceasefire, as the U.S. is?
Most people here that I've spoken to would like to see this fighting end. People have lost their homes. People have lost friends. People have lost loved ones. Business, as usual, has stopped. And this is the third war, the second one with a ground invasion, that they've been involved in since late 2008. However, people also are very unhappy with the status quo. The restrictions on travel, as we spoke about, the restrictions on trade with the rest of the world. They would very, very much like a different life here. And some people I have spoken to do feel the only way to get that message across is to fight Israel.
Emily, I want to ask you one more thing, and that is that there is this report of an Israeli soldier missing. Now, we're not sure where that stands at this point, but as somebody who's covered this region for a long time, would that ratchet things up if the Israelis think that Hamas is holding one of their soldiers?
That could very well have an effect on both military action on the ground and political action as a discussion of ceasefire takes place. Hamas kidnapped an Israeli soldier and held him for 5 years. He was released in 2011. His name was Gilad Shalit. And in exchange, Hamas got more than 1,000 people released from Israeli prisons. Hmm. Yes, an Israeli soldier, dead or alive, could potentially have an effect as a bargaining chip. It could also potentially step up military operations if Israel's on the ground here to try to find that soldier. We haven't seen any proof of life from Hamas yet. They did claim they have kidnapped an Israeli soldier and showed some identification. Israel today acknowledged that they do have a soldier missing. But again, we have no idea if there is an alive Israeli soldier, if Hamas just has the identification. So the details of exactly what happened to that soldier that Israel says is missing are still unclear.
NPR's Emily Harris speaking with us from Gaza. Emily, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy.